Bibles today. We're turning in them to the book of St. Matthew chapter 14. Amen. I'm not claiming whatever it is that's out there, but it's still trying. It's trying its best, but it's about to lose its grasp. But I'm not going to put you through a long time of listening to this voice. Not that it ever is a voice that you just want to hear, but you know what? When someone's got a cold, it just drives you crazy to listen, right? So I'm not going to drag you through that for too long tonight. But I do want to start something here that I believe that will help us along the way. I'm thankful for the church tonight. And I'm thankful for God's presence. And I just, you know what? I hope you feel this way, but I don't want to try to live without the presence of God in my life. I don't want to try to do that. And I appreciate prayer tonight. I appreciate being able to call on Jesus and to feel him. I appreciate every time that the floodgates open up in my tear ducts and the tears flood down my face. Amen. I'm thankful for the brokenness that I feel in the presence of God. I don't ever want to lose that. I want to be a manly man, but I don't want to lose that. Amen. And so I thank him for his presence. I thank him for meeting us. Thank him that he is the supplier, that he is the way maker. And I don't want to take any of that for granted. We're not here tonight because this is some kind of social club. But we are here tonight because we understand that without him we are nothing. And that in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. So the more that we understand about him, the more that I can know about him, the more that I can become like him, amen, the easier that this life is going to be. I don't want to go one day taken for granted that living for God is just some kind of religious notion. But I want to apply myself. I said I want to apply myself to living for God. I want to put forth effort. I want to be diligent in living for God. I want there to be integrity in my life in living for God. Amen. Verse 22, chapter 14, book of St. Matthew. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, somebody would say that was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. There are several things in this familiar story that I believe that are significant to our walk with God here in 2019, and I want to look at those. Ultimately, if there was a subject that was the underlining theme of what I want to talk about, and maybe this might just be the beginning of several times in talking about this subject, but I do want to talk to us about faith, about faith, about faith. And then more specifically tonight, as faith is a big subject and broad subject, I would like to just to title this tonight, "Bid Me Come." Bid me come. Why don't we lift up our voices and ask the Holy Ghost to minister? God, we are nothing without you. Our dependency is on you. Our trust is in your word. God, I ask for your presence to walk among us. You only know, Lord, the needs that are in this house and the purpose for this word. I'm asking, God, that you would supply that need. Speak to that need. Give direction to that need. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Bible says that they were tossed with the waves, that they were tossed. There's a lot of things that I have thought in my mind in passing, a lot of places that I have thought about being at night, and I have thought what it might be like to be out on the ocean at night in the middle of a storm. I'm just going to tell you that there's a lot of places that I've thought about being in a storm, and being on the sea at night in a storm made its way way down the list. Because I can't control water. I can control what I do on land, but when I'm on water, then we are at the mercy of what the water does for us. The Bible says that they were tossed, that uses the word tossed. And that simply is trying to convey that they were tortured, that they were being tortured. Could you imagine? They were being tormented. A storm so violent, the wind so contrary, that seasoned sailors being tormented, not knowing if the next wave was going to take the ship over. I don't know about you, but sometimes life feels that way. You just don't know if there's going to be another wave that's going to take us out. That's hard when everything is going well. It's hard for us to think like that. But try to walk with me tonight and put yourself on the ship that is being tossed with the waves. I've been out a little bit in the ocean, and probably in smaller vessels. And I have witnessed the fact that in a smaller vessel, it can be tossed so violently that one minute it feels like you're on top of the world, and the next minute you look around and it's only water that you're seeing. And you just hope that it bobs back up before the water crashes down on you. And so I couldn't imagine being like that in the dark time. And worse than that, maybe being heaved and tossed and rocked back and forth. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes life does feel like that. Another word for tossed, it means pained. It means tortured, it means tormented, and it means pained. Amen. Can you imagine being so emotionally distraught that it was almost like pain? You know, if we're not careful, we don't see ourselves on ships so much in a storm, but the enemy likes to bring that kind of emotional pain until that it leaves us exhausted. It leaves us exhausted and wishing that, you know what, things would just calm down for a little while. And so let's understand today that, you know what we're talking to is the spirits that war against us in our life. I want to understand that this is a fight. This is a warfare. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. Let's never forget that. But in the middle of a fight, sometimes it's going to take a lot of faith to make sure that, you know what, we keep on holding on and keep on believing. The wind was contrary, the Bible says. I want us to look at this. There are many things that are significant about this story, and I want to try to relay them to us in 2019 and maybe see them in a modern way and apply them in a modern situation. But the Bible said the wind was contrary. This is quite intriguing to me because it wasn't that the wind was the problem, because the wind was needed for them to sail. And so the presence of the wind wasn't the issue. But it's the issue was that the winds had become contrary. The very thing that they depended on got all messed up. I said the very thing that they were depending on got all messed up, and therein lied the problem. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes, you know what, we have to understand that it's not God in our lives that's the problem. Amen. But it's when those things seem contrary to our understanding. And when things start to seem contrary to our personal agendas and my personal desires. Oh, hallelujah. And my way of doing things. It's then that the trouble starts to happen. But God's not the problem in my life. Amen. It's not a sacrifice to serve God. It's not a struggle living for God. But it's when the thing that I'm depending on that I start to have conflict with, that's when I start to have my problems. Why don't we lift our hands and thank God for His word? Oftentimes when it seems like I'm going into the struggle is when I can't figure it out for myself. Oftentimes we call it a struggle when I can't personally figure it out, because we like to walk by sight. I said we like to walk by sight. And so when I can't see where I'm going, I feel like that's the struggle. Amen, but that's not the struggle. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to lean on God and we got to depend on Him. As long as God is doing what we want, then we're okay with God. And as long as God is figuring things out the way that we see them, then you know what? We're okay with God leading the way. But when God's ideas brings us out of our comfort zones, amen, and when God's ideas require that we do things different than you know what? We want to do them. Amen. That's when the winds start to blow contrary, amen, to each other. Oh, my. I want to be mindful of comfort and convenience, amen, and my self-image and my self-greatness and my personal agendas. Amen. You know what? When all of that gets in the way, then God's not too in charge anymore. Amen. But this story has always been relayed, and it's always been relayed with us understanding that God sent them in the storm, that God commanded that, that God compelled them to go into the storm. God knew where they was headed. It was almost seeming like God did it on purpose, left, waited behind, and sent them alone. Amen. Maybe so. Maybe so. One of the things that I want to point out is that as we read through the story, the winds are blowing, the winds are contrary, the ship is being tossed, the disciples are being tortured, tormented, and pained. And the Bible then says that Jesus went unto them. How many knows that He'll come exactly where we are? He knows where we are. Somebody told me, and I've never been there, and so I rely on what I can read, but somebody said that this sea is 13 miles by 8 miles. But in the middle of the storm and contrary winds, God knew exactly where to find them. Don't ever forget and don't ever think that you're living life by yourself, but God's eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to our prayers. Amen. His arm is not short and His ear is not heavy. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Understand that His arm is not short. His ear is not heavy.
Amen. We used to sing an old song back in the day. It said, he's as close as the mention of his name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? Sometimes I call that name not because it sounds good, amen, in a song, but I call that name of Jesus because I don't know what else to pray. Sometimes I pray the name of Jesus. I said, sometimes I pray the name of Jesus. In other words, I don't say nothing else except his name. He knows exactly where I'm at in life. You young people understand that, you know what? When you're in those classrooms, that his presence is right beside you. You know what? In the workplace, when we don't know what to do, you know what? God's right with us. Those times when it seems like we're emotionally distraught, don't forget to call on Jesus. When we're raising our families and we don't really know what to do, and we don't really have the answer, you know what? Call on Jesus. He'll come to us every time. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know that is cliche, but I come to tell somebody on a Wednesday night that if God brought you to it, he'll see you through it. In other words, if God brought you to the Red Sea, and if Pharaoh's army is right behind you, that he'll make a way out of no way. That he'll make a way out of no way. Does anybody believe that on a Wednesday night? Amen. The second part of that significant point is that Jesus came to them, but not all the way. But not all the way. This is the part I know in this familiar story that it's easy just to write off, like we've heard this a lot of times. But you know what? This time when I read it, something grabbed a hold of me and said Jesus was there, but he didn't come all the way. In other words, the Bible says that he was out there in the distance. He was close enough that they could see him, but not so close that they could confirm it was him. Come on now. This is where I find myself a lot of times. I've been in church all of my life, and I know worship, and I know prayer, and I know praise, and I know that he's there. Come on. I know he's there. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's nothing that convinced me that God is not real, that God won't help me, that God won't supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That God does love me. Hallelujah. But sometimes I just can't touch him. Sometimes he's not close enough for me to touch. Sometimes faith in me says, Lord, faith enough to call him Lord, but fearful enough to say, if it's really you. Notice I didn't use the word doubt, but I used the word fearful. Come on, this is where I find myself sometimes. Faith enough to call him Lord, but fearful enough to say, if it's you. Hallelujah. So he came unto them in the storm, but initially they thought he was a ghost. He had to call out to them in the storms and in the contrary winds close enough that they could hear his voice, but not so close that they could define is for sure him. Sometimes faith requires that we depend on his voice, even when we can't touch him ourselves. Hallelujah. Maybe you've never been there. I've been there a time or two. Then Peter calls out to him, Lord, if it's you, he says, bid me come. I want to tell us tonight that hearing God should take our minds off of our circumstances. Hearing God ought to take our minds away from our circumstances. I know this is fundamental on a Wednesday night, but I'm afraid that, you know what, we overlook this simplicity. The significance of this is that when Peter hears his voice, he forgot about the storm. When Peter hears his voice, he forgot about the contrary winds. I'm desperate to hear from God. I hear from God through worship. And I hear from God through prayer. And I hear from God through his preached word. Come on now. This is why that we're in church on Wednesday nights. Because sometimes we're in a storm. Sometimes we just need to get our minds off the circumstance. I don't want to leave the same way that I come while God's talking. I said, not while God's talking, but when God talks, I want to say, you know what? I've got faith enough to know that, you know what? I can forget about the storm now. I can forget about the winds. Everything, the priorities have changed. I've heard from God. Peter wasn't worried about the ghost any longer. The significant thing about this story is when he heard the voice of the Lord, he forgot about the ghost. He forgot about the darkness of night. He forgot about the water splashing in, being slippery and sliding and wondering how much longer they was going to be able to hang on. The presence of the Lord ought to remove all thoughts of the problem. And the very presence of God ought to remove the sensation and the feeling of being overwhelmed. Come on now. I said the presence of God ought to do that. When we feel like we're going to explode and we don't know what to do, the presence of God takes away that feeling of being overwhelmed. Has anybody ever been there? Yeah. Amen. We've been there. His presence is important. Faith in his word is important. Now here's the real significant part that I want to bring us to tonight, because this part right here, everything else that is said, however many lessons is in this, will hinge on this significant point right here. Peter doesn't ask the Lord, not this time. He doesn't ask the Lord to come to him. This is how I often pray. I often pray, God, supply my need. In other words, I'm praying, God, come to me. I'm saying, God, come to where I'm at. I'm saying, God, come to where I need you. Where my need is. But Peter doesn't pray like that. Peter prays, Lord, let me come to you. See, at this point, they just saw 5,000 fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Peter in the middle of the storm, and Peter in the darkest of nights, and Peter in pain and in torment says, Lord, draw me to you. I don't need you to come to my problem, but I need to come to your presence. Faith asks God to draw us to him. Fear asks God to come to us. Oh, hallelujah. But Peter realizes that in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand is pleasure forevermore. The biggest thing that can happen in our lives is when God draws us. Come on now. We talk about this, God draws people. If I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw men to me. We talk about that kind of phrase as if God only draws people out of the gutter, out of the world, out of sin. Come on now. But I wonder what would happen if church folk started praying prayers like, God, draw me. Another word for this word draw would be, God, convict me. Convict me. Another word that I like to put in every once in a while, this is just me, but every once in a while, you know what, that word conviction, I kind of link it to our judicial system. I say, God, arrest me. God, arrest me. Then God, convict me. Hallelujah. I wonder what would happen if the church asked, God, let the fear of your presence be on my life. Let the fear of the Holy Ghost lead me. Let it guide me. Let it teach me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Things change in his presence. I said things change in his presence. Peter realized that, you know what? I don't have to worry about the storm if I'm in his presence. He can come to where I'm at and the boat's still going to rock. But if I go to where he's at, he can bear me up on his wings. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love him again tonight. Come on, let's love him again tonight. Thank you, Jesus. It's better to be where God is, no matter how impossible it seems, than to be in our current condition without him. Anybody hear that? It's better to be where God is, no matter how impossible that it may seem, than to be in our current condition without him. Someone said, I don't know why that Peter wanted to walk on water. Peter wasn't focused on the water. Peter was focused on, it's better to be with him than to be in my present circumstance. Hallelujah. I'm not going to, and I can't, and I know the other side of the story. I know that he began to sink, and the Lord rescued him, and that's another message for another time, maybe another place. But right now, in this moment, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, then bid me come to you. Hallelujah. I'm not wanting you to save me in my present condition. I'm wanting you to save me from it. I'm wanting you to take me out of it. And so it's better to be where God is, no matter how impossible that it may seem, than to be in my current condition without him. You know what? We go to make changes in our life, and there's a lot of questions that start to pop up. Well, what about this? What about that? What am I going to do when this happens? What am I going to do when that question comes up? What am I going to tell this person? You know what? It's better to be with him, no matter how impossible that it may seem, than to keep living in my present condition of torment, of pain, hallelujah, of heartache, of trouble, of struggle. Peter understood that, bid me come, brought power with it. Peter understood that that next word, when Jesus simply said come, it wasn't just a beckoning, but Peter understood there's power with it. Another significant point in this story is that what Peter is asking the Lord is, I want to come. I want to leave this boat. I want to be where you are. Not one time is he asking the Lord to come aboard his problem. But throughout this story, he's asking, God, I want to be where you're at. Hallelujah. And he wants to go there, and he wants to get out of that situation, and he wants to be done with the problem. And all that he's asking is, God, if you'll just encourage me. If you'll just let me know that you want me in your presence. Can I use this word? If you'll entice me. I believe in a challenge. I believe in a good challenge. Amen. I believe there's plenty of scriptures to back that up. Number one, he said, provoke one another to good works. But right here, I don't believe that Peter is asking for a challenge. I believe what Peter is saying is, you know what? If you'll just speak an encouraging word, if you will entice me, if you'll entice me, if you'll just give me any inclination that you want me where you're at, then I'll come. I'll put my foot over the side of this boat. Encourage me, entice me. Ag me on. Hallelujah. Ag me on. You can do it. All these babies around here trying to crawl, trying to walk. Amen. And you stand there encouraging them, knowing they're going to fall. And you entice them, knowing they're probably not going to make it all the way. And you beckon for them. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Lord, if you will just ag me on. If I can be in a church service where I leave when I feel like I've been agged on. Come on now. You know what? God will supply all of our needs. But you got to ask. Tell me somebody. Come on, tell me. You just got to ask him. Tell me. Just knock somebody. There's nothing like praying with somebody and the Holy Ghost is all over them. Amen. And we're clapping around them saying, come on, that's right. We're agging them on. Come on, put your foot over the side. You know what? It feels good when we get enticed and encouraged and agged on by the Holy Ghost. I want you to come. I want you to come to me. I want you to leave your situation. I want you to have faith enough in my word, just to come. The other significant thing in this story is that Peter was the only one that abandoned the circumstance. Isn't it strange that we always do what everybody else is doing? It's kind of like a herd mentality. I drove down the road today where we live. Tell you how far out in the country we live. Not as far as Timmy, but far enough. I was driving down the road, and next thing I look up, here comes a whole herd of sheep. Yeah, one got out somewhere, and the next one said, that looks pretty good. And the next one said, hey, I think I'll try some. And there they are, walking down in the most dangerous place, you know, just get wiped out. And for the first time, the old white sheep dog wasn't doing his job. He was standing up there on the other side of the fence looking like, what do I do now? Started to pull the truck over, tell the dog, come get his sheep. What was he thinking? But you know what? It's easy to stay in a situation, stay in a problem, stay in the struggle, because everybody talks about a struggle. Everybody talk about how hard it is living for God. But Peter says, no, it don't have to be this way. Peter says, you know what? This time, Lord, if bid me come. Lord, bid me come. The term, the phrase, bid me come, has so much faith in it that it says, Lord, if you will just say the word, I'm on my way. Lord, if you'll just say the word, I will step out of my situation, come to where you are, although I've never done this sort of thing before. Although I have to defy nature to do this, it's still better than where I'm at. I will come. You know what? Once it becomes obvious that the boat can't handle the storm, then clinging to the boat just ensures that we're going to self-destruct. And when I talk about the boat, a lot of times we refer to the church as a ship. I'm not talking about the church right now.
I'm talking about things in our life, the storms in our life, the way we're doing things, the way we're going about things, the way we think about things, our foresight, our agendas, our opinions, our ideas, our logic, our culture. Amen. And you know what? If the boat ain't going to make it, there ain't no sense in hanging on to it. We better go to where Jesus is. Someone say, yeah, but I don't think that can be done. Well, the ship is going down. We better have faith in God. Another significant point, and I'm going to wrap this up right here. We'll pick this up again maybe on Sunday morning. There's a lot that I'd like to talk about faith, but I want us to really get this ingrained in our spirit. Lord, bid me come. I want us to get away from the mode of praying and ask God to come to us. I want us to change our prayer and say, Lord, let me come to you. He's come close enough that we hear his voice. God, give us faith to step out of the house and say, this morning, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I'm not waiting for him to come by my house. He came by where Zacchaeus was, but the woman with the issue of blood had to go where he was. I wonder sometimes if you know what, we're not getting everything that God has for us because God comes to where we're at, but he holds up just a little distance away to see how much faith we have to come to where he is. You know what? It takes faith to leave your present situation. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of courage to leave present situations. It takes a lot of faith and courage to leave present ways of thinking. We've done it this way all of our life. Oh my, oh my. It takes faith. So the last significant point that I'm going to make, as long as we stay in the boat, we'll never be able to view the storm from the Lord's perspective. As long as we stay in the boat, we'll never be able to see the storm from God's perspective. What's the significance of that? As long as we're seeing the storm from the boat's perspective, we'll always see ourselves as being victims. I said, we'll always see ourselves as being the victim. But when we're able to leave the problem and see the storm from God's standpoint, oh, hallelujah, we'll see, you know what? We wasn't the victim. God was using us to do his work and building something in our lives. Sometimes I want to have faith just to step out and see things from God's point of view. I said, I want to see things from God's point of view. You know what? We hear a lot of things around the church. A lot of things are taught. A lot of things are said. You know what? If you stay in the situations of our life, all that we'll think about the church is, you know, it's a lot of do's and don'ts. But if we're able to break away from our circumstances and our life, long enough to get in his presence, we can understand the whys and the how comes. And more than just having a law that governs our lives, we'll be able to see a principle. Well, hallelujah. I said, we'll be able to see a principle. I close with this tonight. You know what? And I've said this so many times, but we need to quit trying to live for God based on a book of rules. And we need to ask God to put principles in us. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get where he is. And what's going to give us faith and prayer? Someone said, well, yeah, I like to pray. I know we need prayer, but it seems like I can't pray that long. I don't think that the length of our prayer is really what matters. I think it's the quality, okay? But the Lord did ask the question. He said, could you not watch, right, 1 hour? And so we have a little bit of Bible to base us to lingering in his presence, right? Joshua did that. Joshua did that. He didn't get in a big fired up hurry just to do what he had to do and then be done. But I think sometimes if we could get in God's presence, you know what? We'd see things so much different. We'd walk away with some principles governing us, because we see it from God's point of view. Let's stand together. bid me come. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. I hope tonight, just in this little lesson, that we will change our thinking and ask God to start drawing us to Him.